Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's game day, which it's your Cards game day edition. Louisville welcomes in Syracuse for a Friday night meeting at Cardinal Stadium, kickoff at 7 p.m. ESPN is going to cover the broadcast, television broadcast, and Louisville's looking to snap a two-game losing streak. I'm Cardinal Authority senior writer Michael McCammon, joined by publisher Jody Demlin. And Jody, if you're trying to break a losing streak, it's good to dial up. The Cardinals, you know, more than a two-touchdown favorite, left, I think, 18 points against the Orange, who have had their own share of difficulties this year with opt-outs, injuries, very young. This is a game, even with Javon Hawkins now gone, Louisville's still a big-time favorite with the Orange coming into Cardinal Stadium.
Well, yeah, I mean, it, first of all, it's up to 19.5 as far as today is concerned. And when you really think about that, when I first saw that on Sunday, I was like, okay, that has to be a typo there. I mean, maybe the 9 or something like that. But then when you do a deep dive, think back last year. That game last year was at 54-35, maybe, I think is what it was. But Louisville scored late, like a minute to go in the game, to really put it out of reach. So it wasn't like they blew out Syracuse. I mean, they won, and they won that game handily. But that late touchdown made it seem even more. So I was thinking, okay, this has to be wrong. But then when you do a deep dive, and Syracuse will start 5 freshmen, 3 true freshmen, and 2 redshirt freshmen on defense, most likely tomorrow night. They'll also start a couple on offense. They will start a freshman quarterback. Their 71.6% of their team is underclassmen. That's only Oregon, Florida State, and East Carolina have more than that. So you're talking about a ton of not just freshmen, but also a ton of guys that are sophomores, you know, freshmen or sophomores. I think what I saw in the by the numbers thing, I think third down percentage, 23.9 is 121st in the country. And then what was the other stat that just stuck out to me? Rushing offense, I believe, scoring offense is just 18 points a game, 113, and rushing offense was 84 yards a game, which was like 114th as well. So this is a team that's been, their roster has been decimated by injuries, by COVID, by opt-outs, by guys that just aren't playing. And it's, if you think Louisville's got it bad, look at Syracuse and just listen to some of the stuff that's happened to them.
Yeah, I mean, Syracuse, you mentioned the points per game at just 18.3, which is obviously pretty dismal. Their total offensive yards, 263.8 yards per game average. I mean, that's a type of number that, you know, you could see Louisville potentially put up in the first half, you know. And then when you flip on the other side of the ball, which is kind of their strength, if you want to call it a strength for Syracuse, their defense has given up 464.3 yards per game. So even with Javon Hawkins gone, Tutu Atwell remains day-to-day questionable for the game. This is a game that Louisville should really put up a lot of points, and that's why, you know, surprisingly, Louisville, you know, was an 18-point favorite and now climbed up to above 19 points against Syracuse. And you think, you know, after the experience of Virginia, you know, the offense and the defense are really, you know, hoping to come out and put on a show. And I think this is an opportunity where both sides of the ball have an opportunity to do so. Defense, you know, the guys that were gone for COVID have now been able to hopefully shake off their rust. We saw Monty Montgomery have his worst game of the season. So hopefully all the rust is gone from having to sit out for 2 weeks, and now they can pin their ears back and make some plays on defense. And offense, you know, the one thing they need to stray away from is the thing they've been struggling with all year, Jody, and that's turnovers. I mean, Syracuse tied for number 2 nationally with 17 takeaways, and Louisville's, we've documented it in just about every article, it seems like, is right at the bottom nationally, basically, when you're talking about giving the ball away. So I think if Louisville is able to, you know, at least shore up, at least, you know, cut their turnovers in half, you know, then I think Louisville does roll pretty easily here.
Yeah. So here's something that, you know, and I don't know how to say this without people getting upset. Okay. But the whole narrative of that the defense is just terrible is kind of been thrown out the window a little bit. I mean, when you look at the numbers, they're a lot better off right now than they have been for the last 4 or 5 years. Think about how bad they were 2 years ago. And then think about going into this game. Louisville ranks 27th in the nation in passing yards allowed. That's just 195.6 yards per game. Total offense, they rank 51st. So Louisville's close to being a top 50 defense. They're one spot out of being a top 50 defense. And for what, if you listen to people and you hear and talk to people, even media people that are around, you would think that they would be, you know, in the hundreds, and they're not. They've been actually playing at a pretty high level. And think about what they did against Notre Dame. They held Notre Dame to their lowest output of the season, both yards and points. Mm-hmm. You know, last week against Syracuse, really, when you think about it, the one touchdown The one touchdown was a pick six, and then there was a short field in there as well because of a turnover. So or a shorter field in there because of a turnover. So you're talking about a number of different. You're talking about a lot of games this year where this team, the offense has put the defense in bad situations, and the defense has actually responded. So I'm really kind of pleased with what I've seen as far as an improvement on the defense. I'm telling you, if Louisville can somehow curtail the turnovers and the penalties on offense, they're going to win the last three games. Now, that's a big if because they haven't done it so far this year. But I mean, this whole season would look so different if they weren't the very last team in the country as far as turnover margin is concerned.
Yeah, I agree with you. When you take in, you know, what the Louisville offense, how the Louisville offense has basically hurt the Louisville defense, then things look pretty, you know, even better for the Cardinals defense. And again, we're talking about a group that is still, you know, has many deficiencies when it comes to depth and experience and size up front. I mean, there's still a lot of areas where this defense can improve, but in year two, you know, in these live game threads that we do, Jody, there's been a number of times where, you know, we'll start off, you know, there'll be some complaints about, you know, the defense giving up a big play, but really, you know, in many of these games coming down late, some of the discussion has been, you know what, the defense has given the offense a chance to win, and it's the offense just keeps shooting itself in the foot. I mean, it's a broken record with the penalties and especially the turnovers. You know, I think if Louisville could just cut their turnovers in half, you know, they're not 2-6 right now. You know, and I agree with you. I think if they do kind of shore that up, which we've been saying weekly, they've got a great chance to win out. But again, if they continue to the trend that they have been, like we saw last week with three turnovers again, they're not going to win out. They'll have a difficulty winning any of the games. So, but yeah, I think Louisville, you know, especially against Syracuse, has a great opportunity to come out and have a lot of fun, you know, something they really haven't been able to do all year, either because they're in close games or they're turning the ball over and losing, you know, in the fourth quarter and fading away. I think this game against Syracuse really gives this team an opportunity to go out and have some fun, you know, and really enjoy playing in front of it, even though it's a diminished small crowd, but playing in front of, you know, the home crowd a little bit.
Yeah. So Jacobian Morgan is the quarterback. He's a true freshman. He's a freshman, made his first collegiate start against Boston College. He's the seventh true freshman to start a game at quarterback in Syracuse history, which was kind of crazy to me to think about. They've had seven true freshmen come in and start games. 188 yards, the second most passing yards by a freshman in their first college start in Syracuse. And he actually, he didn't do a bad job. I mean, they lost that game 16-13, much in that game. He did not do a bad job. So I'm interested to see how they can kind of move forward with what they do offensively. They, like I said, they don't have a great running game. That's the one thing that they've got. So one of their offensive linemen at the beginning of the year was a fullback. He was going to be kind of that Isaac Martin kind of role where they come in and they play in the backfield and it's fullback tight end kind of thing. Well, they didn't have enough offensive linemen. Some guys opted out and some guys got hurt, and they moved him to the offensive line. So he is now now they're operating with four guys that are on the offensive line, and then the other offensive lineman is a guy that obviously would have played fullback at the beginning of the year. So that's tough to do when you're talking about that. Now, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing for Syracuse, but that guy who I was just talking about, his name's Chris Elmore. He's 6 foot, 288 pounds, and he's their left guard. And he is graded out as the highest offensive lineman that they have on the team. So if you look early in the year, you know, he was playing fullback. Now he's grading out as there. So again, I don't know if that's a good thing for Syracuse or a bad thing. I tend to think it's a bad thing, but they do have some good wide receivers. They don't have a great deal of running power. Sean Tucker is a freshman, 5'10", 202. They got in that guy named Cooper Lutz, who's a redshirt sophomore, 6 foot, 200 pounds. But they don't get a lot done in the running game. But they do have some good receivers in Taj Harris, Nakeem Johnson, and also Anthony Quealy. They've got some guys that are burners on the outside. And I noticed Brian Brown the other day said 3, 4, and 14. That's how he knew them. That's Harris, Johnson, and Quealy. So those are the guys that you got to kind of watch on offense. And then when you look on defense, they're going to start. They're going to start three seniors. They're going to start five freshmen, and they're going to start a sophomore at their will linebacker, Mikel Johnson, who is their best player on defense. And I think probably by a long shot, their best player on defense. He leads them in tackles, has two interceptions and three forced fumbles out of the linebacker spot. So this is a group, a team that Louisville is a 19.5 point favorite over. And quite honestly, when you really look at it, you can see why. I'm not sure Louisville covers just because, like you said, they haven't done a good job of putting teams away yet. But you can see why on film or on paper, why they're a favorite in this game.
Yeah. And we'll have our picks up. Well, you could check them now, probably actually at cardinalauthority.com, you know, but to me, the keys of the game, as again, like a broken record, Louisville needs to limit their turnovers. I don't even think they need to really even create any against Syracuse. If they do, and they limit their turnovers, then I think it could get ugly in Louisville's favor, you know, pretty quickly. But also, as you mentioned, Nakeem Johnson, you know, is one of those three wide receivers that you mentioned. He's also one of the best return guys, kick and punt return guys nationally. So I think if Louisville can limit their turnovers and don't let them hurt you on a big special teams play, you know, like a punt return or a kick return, then I think Louisville's in good shape and could win, you know, close to what the margin or the odds makers are putting the game at.
Yeah, enjoy this game. I mean, quite honestly, if you think about next week, I don't know how many people would be confident that you're going to play next week because Syracuse is having some COVID issues right now. And if that doesn't happen, that means you're going to be probably off for a couple weeks because I know Wake Forest has already got or Wake Forest is having some COVID issues. I know Wake Forest, who they play next week, has got some or they've got other games backed up. I don't think they have another open date. So enjoy this week and hopefully hopefully we get two more on the season so we can get all of the games in. Hopefully Cards can snap this streak tomorrow tonight and get a victory and just enjoy the atmosphere if you get to go, because it's not going to be a terrible weather night. And, you know, you never know. This might be the last home game. I'm just saying, I haven't heard anything, but I know that Wake Forest is really struggling, you know, with COVID and with injuries. So this could be the last home game of the season. So enjoy it while you can. Well, we've got our picks up and all kind of other things for you at cardinalauthority.com. For Michael McCammon, I'm Jody Demling. Keep clicking cardinalauthority.com, game day edition of the podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.